presented by the Small Business Payments Alliance.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Playbook co-author Ryan Lizza. It's Tuesday, April 30th. Here's what's driving the day. Well, she didn't even show up. That's right. As House members returned last night, there was one conspicuous member who was absent and not voting, Marjorie Taylor Greene. In addition, there were no new members publicly backing her threat to oust the speaker. So another good day for Mike Johnson. We'll see if the coup threat continues to lose steam today. Biden may be on the brink of a breakthrough in the Middle East as Hamas reviews a new ceasefire proposal from Israel and a much larger deal involving Saudi recognition of Israel in exchange for U.S. security guarantees and a pathway to a Palestinian state is reportedly close to fruition. Haaretz last night actually reported that the big holdup for the Saudis is whether they should announce the deal before or after the U.S. presidential election. This larger deal, you'll remember, is something that Biden had been working on for a long time and has recently said quite a few times that it was imminent right before the October 7th attacks. They've continued to work through it, and there are a lot of reports out last night that it's getting close. But the Haaretz report was of particular interest to us this morning because of the fact that the U.S. presidential elections are so on the mind of the Saudis about whether to go through with this. So in the newsletter today, we break down how, in fact, the decision-making of all of the key players in the Middle East is being affected by that same big wild card, who will be president after November. Finally today, Joe Biden has been on a tear about the press recently. In remarks to Howard Stern last week, he complained about the lack of editors. At the WHCA dinner on Saturday night, he called on reporters to move past the horse race numbers and the gotcha moments. And on the Smartless podcast on Monday, he lamented how hard it was for him to communicate his accomplishments in the current media environment. As you might expect, there was a lot of discussion over the weekend at the various WHCA festivities about the president's relationship with the media. And much of that was driven by my colleague, Eli Stokols, who covers the White House and co-authors West Wing Playbook, and wrote a very memorable piece last week. Eli joins me now to discuss Biden's burst of media bashing and the fallout, the continuing fallout, I should say, from his article. Good morning, Eli.
Good morning, Ryan.
So, Eli, your piece last week set off a bomb in political media right on the eve of the White House Correspondents Association dinner weekend. And I know this piece is, you know, was several days ago, but it's still reverberating. I talked about it with so many people over the weekend. So I wanted you to come on and talk about some of the reverberations and also just the current state of relations between the White House and the press writ large. But let's start with people who don't know the backstory. You wrote about a little dust up between the New York Times and the White House. And just quickly give us the gist of that.
Well, you know, there have been a number of, I don't know, impasses or frustrations on both sides of this relationship dating back to the early stages of the 2020 campaign, so really to 2019. Biden folks feeling like the Times just really isn't giving him a fair look in its coverage, that it's a little too skeptical, that maybe the paper just doesn't, you know, appreciate him, was writing him off early in a primary that was dominated by more progressive voices. And then since winning the presidency, you know, the White House has felt like the Times coverage has been focused too much on his age, his standing in the Times' own poll, and not enough on his achievements. And coverage that compares him to former President Trump is a particular frustration for people in the White House and a lot of people, the online progressive left, you know, that have really taken a turn into media criticism because they see the Times and perhaps the media writ large as just not really appreciating some of the asymmetries in our politics these days and trying too hard to maintain this voice and stance of neutrality that just blurs some of the key differences or misses some of the proportional differences between President Biden and former President Trump. On the Times side, you know, reporting this out, there were a lot of people who were aware of the problem. But, you know, if the Times is obsessed with the White House, with President Biden, it's because the Times, you know, views itself as a really important media institution. And they have been frustrated at the lack of access to Biden when he was a candidate and certainly since he was president.
The interesting thing is that once the piece came out, the White House did not ignore it, but has leaned into it. I was surprised at the number of White House aides I ran into over the weekend that referenced it and referenced some of the criticisms that you're talking about of the Times. I don't want to say they were sounded a little obsessed, but I was just surprised at how much headspace the Times is taking up over there. From your perspective, what was the fallout on the White House side, and did it surprise you?
Well, I think, you know, this is something that they have been feeling privately for some time. And so, you know, for me to even be able to report on it and to get people to be as candid as they were, you know, that to me was a sign of just how deep this frustration went, that some people, even if they weren't going to put their name on quotes, were willing to have this litigated publicly or have more attention drawn to the fact that they saw the Times coverage as failing, and that a lot of people were disappointed because of the importance that they grant the Times as a sort of singular media platform in terms of, you know, being known as the country's paper of record, something that a lot of these aides have read their whole lives. And I think there's just a lot of disappointment about the coverage. And certainly, they have leaned into it. The Washington bureau chief for the Times, Elizabeth Buemiller, says, all this press criticism, I don't really know what it gets them. And I'm not sure what it gets them either. The Times has not really changed a lot. It you know, maybe they're just blowing off steam. Maybe they think this pressure campaign over time will get more favorable coverage or will get the Times to consider, as the president implored the entire press corps to do at the dinner on Saturday night, the stakes in the election. You know, not that he wants favorable coverage for himself, but report on the stakes and less the horse race.
This brings us to something that Biden said at the end of his remarks on Saturday night in the Washington Hilton when he ended on a serious note. You know, he talked about Trump and, you know, there are some who call you the enemy of the people. He ended with a challenge to the press. I found some reporters who thought this was, you know, verging on, you know, inappropriate, that he was calling us out. Others who thought it was pretty familiar, that he said things like this many times before, and that they've heard this and there's nothing wrong with it. He was, you know, it's just their sort of point of view on what the press's role is. I'm just curious about your analysis of that little section of the remarks, and, you know, what you've heard in your conversations with reporters and White House officials, and what was Biden getting at here, and is it anything new?
You know, he has made these points before. The speech felt a little similar to what he said last year. We're on the much closer to the election now, so maybe it carried a little more weight. Certainly when the president is making it a little personal and saying something like, I think you all know. Yeah, I can see why that would be uncomfortable for most journalists. You know, I certainly sat there and was thinking to myself, like, you know, what's he talking about? We all do know what is at stake in terms of an election, and that there are huge differences between the two candidates, and that the country will, you know, go in two very different directions depending on, you know, who wins the election potentially. But I also think that most journalists do not look at it as our job to put our thumb on the scale.
Eli, thank you so much for breaking that all down. Great piece.
Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it.
And for your schedule today, the Senate and the House are in. I'm Ryan Lizza. Thanks for listening.
Brought to you by the Small Business Payments Alliance. According to a new survey, an overwhelming majority of small business owners oppose additional government regulations on the electronic payment system, as called for in the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. Don't let Durbin-Marshall pile new mandates on Main Street small businesses. Learn more at smallbusinesspaymentsalliance.com.